I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big night of European action. Rangers were held at home to Aris Limassol in a game which saw Todd Cantwell substituted before half-time. They have today appointed a new director of football. Brendan Rodgers says Celtic are working hard to add quality players after their European exit, and the weather is already starting to impact tomorrow's fixture card, but fear not, there will be a Euro 2024 draw to heat everyone up. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
Well, recruitment. Rangers have their man in place. He'll start work on January 2nd, but by then an awful lot will have happened. That there is the European question for Rangers to solve. They have a cup final against Aberdeen, and of course they have Celtic on December the 30th. Last night showed that recruitment is the thorniest issue at Rangers. Some of the players brought in summertime are inadequate, and that applies to Celtic as well. The summertime buying by Celtic and Rangers has been, for a very large part, poor.
Yeah, a lot's been said this week about Celtic's exit. Jim, you know, we're a couple of nights on. It's almost like Rangers turn in the spotlight. The difference being, of course, they can still do it. It just feels like last night was obviously way below what many fans expected. I'm thinking back to last night's show. There was many predictions of victories and comfortable victories and setting up a nice cosy end to the group. And well, it was far from the case at Ibrox last night.
That's exactly what it should have been, Gordon. If Rangers were a player at their very best, they were more than good enough to take care of Limassol. But they went in at the races, and particularly in the first half hour, they lost another sloppy goal, very similar to the goal they lost against Aberdeen at the weekend, even with a different partnership at the back. And, you know, the manager made a change. Obviously, McCausland came on. It was a big call from him in taking Todd Cantwell off, who was obviously very unhappy about it and showed his displeasure. And I think a lot of the Rangers fans thought there was maybe another one or two players that might have been sacrificed before him. So, yeah, he's made a big call. Certainly, McCausland scoring helped. But Rangers, I think, will be bitterly disappointed. They didn't wrap up, you know, all 3 points last night, which would have given them that breathing space and allowed them to relax in the last game. Now they've got a very, very difficult tie away at Real Betis. And you know, Celtic, as Brendan Rodgers says, they really need to step up the level of players to go and compete in Europe, because I think that's where the Celtic fans are getting more frustrated with.
I heard them. I listened. DL said 2-0 mm-hmm. to Rangers. Mark Wilson said 3-0 to Rangers. I am not the only dud in this place when it comes to predictions. I may be the most frequent dud.
Yeah, you're the best at it.
But to be fair, if I'd been here, I'd have tipped 2 or 3 nothing as well. Rangers shot themselves in the foot. It was all there in front of them. And to have dropped 4 points to the third best team in Cyprus, not even the best team in Cyprus, the third best team in Cyprus, it was a bad night at the office for Rangers.
How bad though? That's where you come in. 0141 951 1025. There is a lot to get through. Like we said, Brendan Rodgers has spoken today, talking about trying to add quality in what has been a difficult week for Celtic. We've got a big weekend of club action. We've got that Euro draw, but it's fairly obvious Ibrox last night, the place to start. What do you think of it, Rangers fans? Sum up the performance. It's not often that we would dedicate so many minutes, as I'm sure we will, talking about a substitution, but clearly last night was one of them. Was it the right decision to take off Todd Cantwell? Is there a Todd Cantwell, Philippe Clement issue brewing here? Was it wrong to prioritise him coming off at the expense of others who maybe not pulling up trees either? I think you'll have a few names to suggest in there as well. How frustrating is it to have to go to Seville, as Jim says, and try and make something happen, particularly a couple of nights before that League Cup final as well. So sum up last night for us right now if you can. 0141 951 1025. It's a big weekend coming up, Hugh, as well. Yeah. We're straight back to it. It's very breathless stuff, Scottish football these days.
Well, you know, we're having a glut of games in the month of December. Saturdays, midweek. It's a race towards the new year now. And Celtic and Rangers have to be careful.
And there's a new director of football as well, of course. How could I forget? You can get your thoughts in on that one as well. Nils Koppen is the new director of football recruitment, actually. There's a new word being added there. So it's a bit of a restructure in that department at Ibrox. But get your thoughts over to us. Thomas is in Barrhead. Thomas, how would you sum up last night?
Well, one of the things I would say is a criticism levelled at this group of Rangers players for some time now has been serial bottlers. And I've always argued their case. However, events of the last 4 days have made me really have to change my mind. On Saturday, Motherwell gave us a gilt-edged opportunity to close 3 points against a team who at that time were second bottom of the Premier League. You know, that you can't get more up for a game than that, to close within 3 points of Celtic. They bottled it. The first half, they were like rabbits caught in the headlights. They totally bottled it, it seemed. Then last night, Sparta gave us another great chance to go top of the... not only qualify for the last 32, but actually qualify for the last 16 by going top of the group. And against, at home, against the team ranked worst, or lowest, sorry, that's patronising, ranked lowest in the group of teams that are in the Europa League. They failed to do it. And again, as Hugh alluded to at the start there, two identical goals. And I'm fed up with Rangers saying, we're going to learn from this. Well, they clearly didn't learn from Saturday, because it was an identical goal, albeit against two different centre-halves, that they lost last night. And it does appear that they are serial bottlers. Now, we've got a League Cup final coming up, and any Cup final is important. But if Rangers lose this Cup final, on top of the results in the weekend and last night, then serial bottlers doesn't begin to cover it. And if you're looking at a rebuild, boys, there's not enough money in Rangers' coffers to cover the rebuild that's required in that group of players.
Just had a rebuild in the summer as well, yeah. Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, we've spent a fortune in the summer, but you've an ageing defence. You know, your two fullbacks are the wrong side of 30. Your centre-half, one of your centre-halves that couldn't play last night, he's 36. Suter, that's young, but there's not a dominant, strong centre-half. Dare I say it, someone like Cameron Carter-Vickers, now I know they don't come cheap, but Rangers have always had a strong, dominant centre-half, ball-winning centre-half. They're powder puff centre-halves, the four of them. I mean, I know Goldson has been there some time, but he's always got a huge mistake in him, as has Ben Davis. I mean, Ben Davis was actually shamed last night in trying to pursue that Gambinese striker. I mean, dare say that cliche, my granny could have ran faster. He was caught wanting for pace, and there's no pace in that defence. Mm.
Right, you've covered a lot of good ground, Thomas. It's interesting stuff. This, yeah. I mean, Thomas is a Rangers fan, and he says, you know, he supports them a lot, but he's starting to see the accusations that this team bottles, whether that's the right word or not, big games that they should win.
There's been a dramatic mood swing since Pittodrie, and I think, to be fair, they ought to have won at Pittodrie. They, you know, they've rattled the crossbar a couple of times, and the you know, Lammers, poor old Lammers. At 1-1, he has the gilt-edged chance to win the game.
Yeah, I think we might get to him between but now and
Lammers,
the end of the show.
Lammers is one of four, at least, that I think is in the wrong movie. He's in the wrong country, he just doesn't fit, and he's not good enough to play for Rangers. And Cifuentes joins him there. Dessers couldn't even be brought on, I think, for fear of the crowd seeing him. And Danilo, last night, showed that he's simply not sharp enough to be what Rangers require in that striking role. So, you know, none of them were brought to the club by Philippe Clement. They are not good enough to play for Rangers. And as Thomas on the line says, the danger is that in the month of December, when Philippe Clement has so many things to do at European Cup and league level, These guys are dragging the team down.
It's not definite yet, Jim, because this Rangers team might well go to Seville, might well win the game, might storm through. So we don't need to be too final about all this. But is Thomas right in the sense that this group of players, now it's not necessarily all Philippe Clement, easy for me to say, he's not been here for some of these big games, but this group of players could do with some winning some big games in the eyes of these Rangers fans?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this the phrase serial bottlers. I think that's, listen, Thomas can use the phrase he's entitled to. It's not something I like. I think that you come back in the last minute, you get an equaliser, you drive up Pittodrie. Pittodrie's a notoriously difficult place to go and get results. So I think that, it shows that there is a determination, a desire to get something from the game. But I do believe that playing for Rangers is a lot different than some of the players that have had previous experience in their other clubs. The demands of Rangers are extremely high. The expectations of the fans are high, not just to win football matches, but win it comfortably, or win it in a certain style, compete with Celtic at the top. And also, they should be beating Limassol last night. There's no question about that. So there are demands and expectations, but he still has the cup final in a couple of weeks to try. He can get his first piece of silverware. It doesn't guarantee yet. We've seen that with Van Bronckhorst, but I think it gives you a wee bit of breathing space. So
if it goes the other way,
he's got to get to that first of all. And also, any manager that comes in, you need some sort of period of time. There is no manager in the world that just walks in, snaps his fingers, and everything falls perfectly into place. You know, there are so many variations that can happen. We've seen what happened with Postecoglou. He went down there, won the first three Manager of the Month awards. First three, it was unheard of. And then, bang, wiped with injuries and lost the next three games. So it can there's an awful lot of things can happen. So I think Clement needs a bit of time. He needs to look at the January window. He needs some help from the board to try and back up his philosophy, and then we've got a better idea of how good Philip Clement really is.
Thank you to Thomas, who was on the line. I should have mentioned at the start, everyone who calls in and makes it on air tonight goes into the draw to win one of two pairs of tickets to see Scotland women against England at Hampden on Tuesday the 5th. So next Tuesday, give us a call. You want to talk football anyway, you might win tickets to the big game at Hampden. So it's a win-win situation. From Thomas in Barrhead to Tam in Barrhead, which mixing it up ever so slightly. What did you make of this substitution of Todd Cantwell last night, Tam?
I think he made the wrong choice, to be honest. I think he should have took Lammers off and put Cantwell in the number 10 area, and brought him with Tondo. I think that was a really poor choice he made last night, to be honest.
Let's hear Philippe Clement's explanation first. Don't take it from us. Let's hear Philippe Clement, what he had to say on it.
I had to make a change early, what I don't like to do, but we were missing width on the right side, and we were missing depth also with, because we didn't have running players behind the defence there or being high enough in position. I gave that message a few times to Todd, but he was coming into the ball all the time, so that's why I made the change, and to put Ross in was more that profile.
So who's to blame here, Tam? Todd Cantwell, does he need to, even although he's not a winger, he's not a wide player, does he need to follow instruction better? Does he need to play better, irrespective of where he's played? Or does Philippe Clement have a bit of a blind spot for Sam Lammers? You know, who's to blame?
Well, if you see last night, Todd Cantwell caused the goal last night. So I don't know if maybe that is the reason why he brought him off. Todd Cantwell, it was a few times last night, he tried to take on three, four players at a time. And then in the end, he conceded a goal from it. So last night, I think he caused that. But I think if he put him in the number 10 position, I think he would have played a bit better than that, because we see from numerous games that he can't play out wide.
Well, I think if a manager has a player on the park who is not following instructions and is repeatedly told, don't do that, do the other thing, then Clement strikes me as a man with a short fuse. And the loss of the goal was the final straw. On the basis that he takes him off, brings on McCausland scores.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Well, because clearly a lot of Rangers fans are saying, but you've made this big statement. You bring off someone, Jim will know, you bring off someone in that time, someone who previously fans thought was going to be the main man in the team or one of them. You've made a big statement. You've acknowledged he isn't a wide player, but you've played him there and you've kept a guy on in his preferred position who's completely ineffective in Sam Lammer. So it's a bit more complicated than that, is it not?
Well, maybe, you know, he is trying and hoping that Lammers will come to life. Unfortunately, he went from bad to worse instead.
I mean, I agree with Tom. I think that Todd Cantwell's a central midfield player, either advanced, as he said, in the 10 position, or, you know, a central area. He's certainly not a wide area. And Philippe Clement stated that. You know, he said that he needed more running power, more width. So I don't think that's Todd Cantwell's fault. I really don't. I think, and also don't blame him for the goal. Any flair player must try. So he tried a little kind of Zidane turn about 25 yards from goal, 30 yards from goal. If you don't try something inventive, they're never going to come off anyway. So he loses the ball there. That can happen at any level. The midfield player and then the defence has to be able to deal with that a lot better. If you don't take any risks at the top end of the pitch in the attacking third, you'll never score a goal. So I'm a Cantwell fan in terms of his ability. Yeah, he can be wound up a little times, and sometimes he can get a little bit caught up in the game. But I think he has to play in a position where he can be effective, and I don't think he's effective as a wide right player. So if he's, for me, Philippe Clement should have either started with McCausland or Matondo, if that's what he thinks is necessary. And then it's his choice whether he thinks Lammers is a better option than Cantwell. That's entirely his choice. My preferred choice would be Cantwell in that central area, similar to what Tam was saying.
Tam, the sort of, I don't know if it's embarrassment or whatever, but like I said, it's a big statement. When a player gets hooked, if you like, that early, it's a big statement. You could see Todd Cantwell wasn't happy. You think he bounced back fine from this, or does this sort of worry you about his... Oh, he's away. Tam's away. It's a rubbish
question.
Well,
he has to bounce back. You know, I think that Clement will now realise that he's wasting his time playing him in the wide role, but he must also acknowledge that Cantwell has a talent, so he has to get over it. You know, it's not about his ego. Mm. It's about what happened last night and the position in which it leaves Rangers as they look forward to Real Betis.
It's an easy question for the manager to ask Todd Cantwell. Just say to him quite straightforward, are you happy to play in that position? And if he says no, listen, Gaffer, I'm not a wide right player. See if you want to play someday, they play Matondo or Sima or McCausland. I'll compete for the central midfield berth, and I think I'm good enough and are better than the guys that are currently there. Then that's fine. And as a player, you know, you trust your own ability and your own talent to be the best. And at a club like Rangers, you should have a lot of talent and you should have a lot of competition. And I think at this moment in time, Todd Cantwell should be playing in that central role.
What do you think then, Rangers fans? What's your take on that? Was it the right decision, the wrong decision to take off Todd Cantwell? What about Sam Lammer's part in all this? How's Philippe Clement handled it? All of the questions, you can provide the answers right now, please. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Patron saints of Patter. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard on St. Andrew's Day.
Time travelling. It was yesterday.
St Andrew's Day, and that's Gordon Dale's anniversary.
Yes, he was telling us last night.
Yes, exactly. Well, he told me the last time.
Listen, some people like to celebrate for more than one day, I think. We'll put it down to that, not a technical hitch. Stevens in Hamilton, how are you, Stephen? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you guys?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Just before the travel, Stephen, it was a bit of a discussion there about, you know, the Todd Cantwell substitution. There's quite a lot goes into it. What did you take away from it?
Well, I was at the match last night, and I 100% agree with Philippe Clement. Watching the match, I could see him. It was unfortunate that Rangers were shooting opposite way in the first half, that Cantwell was on Clement's side, and he was constantly barking the instructions to Cantwell. And there was a point that Cantwell had looked at Clement and he never took the instruction, and then Jack Butland took the ball down, took a quick ball, and he actually had to shout to Cantwell, look at the ball coming to you. So then when Cantwell scored the goal, when we lost the ball, Cantwell lost the ball, I looked at Clement and he was absolutely feeling, shouting at the bench, and actually I watched Clement that much, I actually missed the goal.
So, Manager watch,
I'm not quite sad that way. But I said to the guy next to me, watch this, Cantwell will come off. And then, sure enough, he took Cantwell off. So I 100% agree with
Manager.
And if he was to, what people are saying, shuffle the pack around to fit Cantwell in, he would have took Lammers off, and that would have totally killed that guy's career at Rangers if it's not already done. So Clement was 100% correct in my opinion.
So you don't think that risk is, I mean, as severe then with Todd Cantwell? You don't think this is a sort of big blow to Todd Cantwell and a blow to, you know, his immediate future or relations with the manager?
Well, I think it might be a bit hostile between the two of them, but I think Cantwell's got the ability over what, like, Lammers has got to turn Clement around. Obviously, there's an excuse there for Cantwell that he was playing in the wrong position, but it's like anything. If you're told to play it right back for Rangers or Celtic, you do it.
Yeah, it's, do you know what? To be fair, Stephen explains that fine and backs his theory up. It just feels like if that's the case, then Stephen's almost admitting you're keeping a worse player on in Sam Lammers because you don't want to destroy him. But I'll take Todd Cantwell off then.
I'm not sure that it would have destroyed him. I think he's already in trouble.
Well, he got cheered off pretty much, or whatever it was.
When that happens to you, you're really in trouble. The crowd are declaring that they are delighted to see the back of you. I repeat, he's in the wrong country. This isn't for him. And he looked about the stands last night at Ibrox after these fresh air swipes and all the rest of it. And he's intimidated by his surroundings. And you'll never survive at Rangers or Celtic if you're intimidated by the jersey. With regard to Todd Cantwell, I understand from younger people they call him TikTok Todd. And he's a great man for
things you never thought Hugh Evans would say.
I understand he's called TikTok Todd. He loves the social media world. He takes the bait on social media. I'm trying to pick my words carefully, but he's an egomaniac, or that's what he looks like to me.
That doesn't sound very careful. Sounds a bit unfair and personal,
in
actually.
In my personal opinion, the show's not about him, and he wasn't responding to the manager's instructions. And Clement, you've got a clash of personalities then, because Clement is almost robotic in his style. I told you to do that, you didn't do it, come off.
Nothing worse than being on the manager's side, Jim.
Yeah, but I think he's throwing a wee bit of a precedent down there. If he does that with Todd Cantwell, is he going to do that with other players further down the line? You know, in other words, is he putting down a marker to all the players there and making Todd Cantwell an example? If you don't do is exactly the way I want it done, you won't be in the team, you'll be, you know, hooked off. And I think that it was harsh on Cantwell last night. As Stephen said, he did make some mistakes. Maybe, you know, running back the pitch and, you know, because I think it was one time I looked in Tavernier, he was kind of pointing to the runner. He was going with someone else and Cantwell was tracing him back. Again, you've got to get to know your players. You've got to know which players you can trust in certain situations. And for me, Cantwell's a middle to attack player. He's not a defensive-minded player. He's not a player that, you know, that thrives on that type of situation. He's a player that gets on the ball. He's creative, and I think you have to use him in his best light. And I've got a bit of sympathy for Cantwell on this particular situation because I think he was in a situation where he felt pretty uncomfortable on the night, and I think it's down to the manager to put him into his favoured position if he believes he's the best option in there. As far as Lammers are concerned, yeah, I do agree that with Hugh in some aspects that it is difficult for him at this moment in time. But some players do take a bit of time to settle into a club like Rangers. They do have to get used to the surroundings, the size of the club, the atmosphere, 50,000 fans with their demands. Some players, it takes a season, yeah, and then they grow, they learn from it, and they improve. So I wouldn't write anyone off yet, but Lammers is having a difficult time at the moment.
Stephen, do you think that this all, it's all quite hysterical, and you know, Rangers drew last night, they can still top the group, Philippe Clement hasn't tasted defeat yet. Where is it all coming from? Is it the fact that this comes back to back with Aberdeen, so all of a sudden, just when you thought things were going swimmingly, that's two real disappointments? You know, had the Rangers fans got a bit excited, were hopes high that this guy had come in and made an instant impact, and now you're waking up to the realisation that it's not that straightforward? What's the overall package looking like?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the honeymoon period is over, but for me, I believe it. Clement is the right man for the job. In his press conference, I felt as if he was kind of put his hand up and saying, I think he's maybe put Cantwell in there at right wing. He maybe shouldn't have. He's looking in hindsight that he shouldn't have done it. So for me, he's shown that he's willing to give Todd Cantwell another chance. But the honeymoon period is over, and I think.
Oh, that sounded like the headline was about to arrive from Stephen, and we've
a very short honeymoon. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think first of all, with regard to the rest of the European competition, we're in danger of making Real Betis sound like Real Madrid. They've already lost to Rangers. They lost to Sparta Prague last night. They are far from infallible, even at home. And I don't believe that at this stage you can totally write off Rangers, but if they have a night similar to the one they had last night, then they won't get very far. But that's in the future. Rangers have to concentrate on St Mirren first of all on Sunday, because if they play as they did last night against St Mirren, they might get caught again.
To be fair, before last night it was a 13 game unbeaten run since the Rangers defeat. I think probably the point, Jim, listening to Stephen, it's more that, yes, yeah, so Rangers could go and win there. Of course they could. It shouldn't have come down to this. That's the feeling. Because even you know, when things weren't great and there was a change of manager and confidence was low, lost out, you know, out in Cyprus, could you even have scraped a draw that night? You really should be beating the teams at home, and that we shouldn't be having this discussion about what Rangers need to go and do, really.
Yeah, Rangers are a better team than Limassol if they all play at their best. But last night, there was very few played at the top level, very few. There was maybe only two or three players could really hold their hands up and say, I played at my maximum level. The rest were not bad, okay, or poor, you know. And I think that, you say, they could go to Spain and win if everything clicks. I think that's the biggest frustration, that the job should have been done. They should have been going there with the flip-flops on, you know what I mean, let's be honest, and that's not going to be the case now. Also, it's only a few days, I think, before the cup final.
It's the Thursday night.
So it's not as if they can go there and try and tiptoe their way through it. They're going to have to give it everything and then recover and get back for a huge game a few days later. So that condensed period is going to be enormous. That particular week's going to be huge for Philippe Clement and Rangers in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, what a half a week that's going to be. What about Andrew in Dumfries? What's your take on it, Andrew?
My take on it is, Cantwell can have all the ability in the world, but I think a big part of that is the trust in him to show some integrity on the pitch. Lammers, for all his flaws, he gets tackled by his right foot more often than not. He's strong and he'll hold the ball up and he'll try to bring other people into play. With Todd Cantwell, you give him the ball and then put his back to goal, and as soon as someone tackles the air near him, he goes to the ground. So he's either not in play or the ball is stopped for a free kick or whatever. And I don't think that's what Clement's looking for his number 10.
It can be infuriating in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes to ground far too easily. There was the ludicrous dive at Pittodrie last Sunday. I think Clement, he's the manager, and Cantwell has to adjust to him rather than the other way round. Mm. And
there is that third option here, though, isn't there? Because is that Andrew, to be fair, is the first caller who has come on and said anything remotely positive about Sam Lammer.
Yeah.
It's not just about, are you right to take Todd Cantwell off or not?
Yeah.
There's the, what are you doing with that guy though? And can Todd Cantwell not take his place? And he's the one that plays less.
At the moment, going on the information that we've gathered, the evidence that's been gathered on Sam Lammers, he has struggled and really continues to struggle. I don't know what transformative thing would have to happen to him, but he, at the moment, looks like he'd be better left out of the team.
But Andrew actually sees something. Jimmy thinks there's more of a physicality there, thinks he can hold the ball up and bring people into play.
There is a physicality. There are two different types of player. Cantwell likes to run with the ball, likes to take people on. He's, you know, he gets at opponents. He's got a little bit more legs about him. He does go to ground too easy. There's no doubt about that. I think the physical side is something that he's got to be stronger in. The game has changed where they do protect players, but not to the extent where if you just get brushed, you fall over. So he's got to stand up to that a little bit more. I think the manager has to maybe have a word with him, and maybe even his teammates, you know, the captain or whoever can have a little word with him and say to him, look, you don't need to go over every time somebody bumps into you. Lammers is maybe a bit stronger physically, can take a little bit more of the bumping and bruising, but it's ultimately how effective is he in terms of creating chances for him, for his teammates, or scoring goals, being a threat. If you play in that number 10 position, you have to be some sort of a threat or a creative spark. And I don't see that in Sam Lammers at the moment, whereas I do see it in Cantwell.
Yeah, so do you think, Andrew, some of the criticism of Sam Lammers has been over the top?
I think a lot of it's been fairly warranted. I watched a lot of the pre-season, and it's pre-season. The boy actually looked quite capable. He has a tidy touch, can keep the ball controlled well. But as soon as he seems to try to do anything outside of 2 yards of his own radius, he seems to fumble, and he needs to get past that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound ideal, I must admit. Thank you to Andrew in Dumfries. Andrew, like every other caller who makes it on air tonight, goes into the hat for one of two pairs of tickets to see Scotland women take on England at Hampden on Tuesday night. So keep the calls coming. And you could be in the hat as well. Let me tell you about this.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Now, I know lots of you listen religiously, so you'll listen every night and you'll hear me say this every night, but at this time of year, it's the most important thing we say in any show. There is a reason we keep hammering this message home, because Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is back, and we really can't help but notice just how difficult this Christmas is going to be for so many local families right here on our doorstep, right here in our communities. We're just trying to make a bit of a difference this year to local children. And a big thanks to so many of you who are involved already, including the Broomnoe Bar in Airdrie, Angelina's in Hamilton. They're both hosting Christmas jumper parties this Thursday, the 7th of December. Charlie Brister and the team at Into the Wild, they're taking on an Everest challenge next Sunday, the 10th. They're going to climb and reclimb the Kilpatrick Hills until they reach the height of Mount Everest. Chug. You get your high tech trainers on, go and join them.
I've got them in the house.
29,000 feet.
I'm
no
good
less.
To go.
They're donating all the money to Cash for Kids. It's incredible. Done. What an effort that is. Now, if you're sort of in doubt and wonder, well, where does this money go? Let's hear from Grace Lamont. She's from the Julie Peace Club in Castlemilk. They're a group that works with schools offering play and activity sessions to children in poverty. And here she's been telling us a bit about a family that she's worked with.
We had a family. We managed to get a fund that enabled us to buy winter jackets. The staff called them up to say, do you want to come to the Julie and collect it? And there was a pause. And then she said, well, I can't actually come down because I've just washed the only jackets we have. They're wet. It's a reality check for us when we get stories, you know, when we see the parents totally distraught.
I mean, to bang on about the weather. You've all seen how cold it is. We're talking about just making sure people are warm enough, your children making sure that they're warm enough. So if you can help out, we would be really appreciative. Every penny, 100% of the funds raised, goes straight back out to those families that need your help. So if you want to find out more, go to Clyde1.com/mission. And that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025, and Marcus in Toll Cross is about to join us. How's it going, Marcus?
Not bad. How's yourselves?
Not bad. I mean, a lot's been said about last night. It's definitely the most we've ever analysed a substitution before, I think, Marcus. What was your take on it?
Well, pretty much as soon as they'd done the substitution, I was like, it needs to happen, because there's been far too many times this season where Cantwell's, there's been a few instances where you're like, it's a bit of petulance, it's a bit of sloppiness, like he's expecting decisions to go his way instead of like a footballing decision. And then last night was just like a step too far. He's tried something too fancy and it's went against the team, and his reaction to it, it was, maybe he was trying to play up and show that he was disgusted by the decision, but I think Clement was absolutely right, absolutely spot on. And it shows you, the fact is that the young boy came on, played his part, came on in the second half, scored a goal, then when he went into the box, dribbled a challenge that Cantwell would probably have went down under, the boy stayed up, tried to get the shot off and go.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, it's Cantwell, been... Sorry, Marcus. Carry on, sorry.
If that was Cantwell, I think he would have been down. Wouldn't even have took the chance to score. Well, boy, he was like, I'm going to stay up, I'm going to take the chance, I'm going to try and score.
I have to say, Marcus, I thought at the time, an older, more cynical player would have taken the opportunity to hit the deck at that point. But McCausland was on a roll.
I was going
to
say, look, we're 50 minutes in and it's been... you know, a lot of negativity. Would that be the one major positive? Obviously, Ross McCausland coming on, well, just signed his new deal, first goal of Europe.
I think, though, that the whole issue of the substitution, what happened to Rangers last night goes far deeper than Cantwell being taken off. You know, Rangers had it at 1-1 and had everything in front of them. The crowd, they are a better side, or they ought to be a better side than Aris Limassol. And everything was there for them. And Cantwell has gone. And in the second half, Rangers simply could not do enough to win the game. And that, as I say, runs far deeper than Cantwell being taken off 10 minutes before half time.
Is it easy, though, Jim, to we fall into one trap, you know, and then it becomes all about Todd Cantwell, whereas really Hugh did rhyme off some at the top, to be fair. Have we seen anywhere near what we expected from José Cifuentes? Are we starting now to realise that actually Danilo's probably got a bit to go? I mean, he came in and was better than Dessers initially, for sure. Maybe he's tailed off a bit. Sima had that great goal-scoring patch. That's now not there. It can't all be about Todd Cantwell in this substitution.
Football can initially goes on in results. If you get good wins, which happened under Philip Clement when he came in, and everything, and you know, everyone looks much more positively. The thing about the substitution last night, if he'd have made a double substitution, if he'd have made put Tom Lawrence on, for instance, and McCausland on at the same time, they probably wouldn't have had such an argument, because it's one player,
and it's
highlighted, and other players have stayed on the pitch. But if he'd have said, listen, it wasn't working, I'm making a double substitution or a triple substitution, I'm not happy with the way that things have worked, I think most people would have went, yeah, that was a bold move, a big move for the manager, but a strong move. As it now looks as if it's, as Marcus was saying there, perhaps in previous games, he's putting down a marker to Todd Cantwell to maybe say to him, listen, you need to improve, you need to be much better, much stronger physically, mentally, and do more to make sure that you stay in the team. But maybe that's the case.
How do you see Todd Cantwell's role in this team going forward, Marcus? Because I'm pretty sure in pre-season, we would have had calls from Rangers fans who thought that Cantwell was going to be the main man. They really liked what they saw since he came in. They thought that, you know, maybe this team could be built around him, and this was going to be a big season. What does the immediate future look like for him now?
when Beale brought him in, like, he was the kind of player that we saw in Aribo. With Aribo, he could dribble past players, could take on 3-4 players. We saw it in the Braga game, they just turned it on. Cantwell, we thought, he's capable of that if he gets a run of games and builds up his confidence. But it just seems like, it's, even like Lammers as well, he's got the capabilities, but they've got no confidence.
I don't know.
Cantwell's like trying to do too much. Probably the same as Lammers, but Cantwell's like, as if he's angry inside.
I don't think he lacks confidence. I used to enjoy watching Norwich City when Cantwell was in the team. I see a different person now, a different player.
You know yourself, Hugh, but it's a different pressure playing for the old firm.
Without doubt, Marcus. And that's why I say, in the case of Cifuentes, Dessers, Danilo, Sima, I think that they look around them and they've never witnessed anything like this before. And you need a strong constitution to be in the Rangers-Celtic rivalry. And the last night, in European terms, I thought they looked around the stadium and thought, really? I don't know what to do about this.
Yeah, but it's just on his future, Jim. We don't need to get too hung up because, like, it's a squad game now. We know that. It's not like you only pick 11. But if we're talking about, you know, Rangers' strongest and kind of going forward, have we now then decided, beyond all doubt, Todd Cantwell can't play on that right-hand side? Is that it in everybody's mind after last night? Because if so...
I truly believe he's not a winger.
No. So if that's the case, then...
He needs a central goal to get the best out of him.
Yeah. If that's the case, then, there's Tom Lawrence is there, and Sam Lammers is still playing. So are we at the stage where, despite what everybody thought in the summer about his sizeable role in the team, that we're not going to see Tom Lawrence, you know, as a main figure in that Rangers team then?
Yeah, no, you can get Lawrence and Cantwell.
Todd Cantwell, sorry. But can you though? Because where does Cantwell play if we've now decided
they can
he can't?
Play either side. You can have Lawrence, and, I mean, you've got Raskin to come in, you've got Jack. That's just
the manager's on last night, though, bemoaning lack of width.
Yeah, but he's got Matondo, he's got Sima, he's got McCausland. He probably will bring in a winger, I would guess, in the January window, someone that he wants to bring in. To give them those other options and that. But I think that, you know, there's a bigger picture there. I think in the last couple of weeks, you've got to look at the players who were at Rangers, who have been at Rangers for the last 2 or 3 years as well, or longer, some of them, and see how they're performing and how much they're impacting the team as well. Not just the new guys. It's harder for the new guys to come in, you know, and settle into a club like Rangers. That does take a bit of an adjustment. So I feel that everything is kind of focused on them, because you said there was a bit of a rebuild and everybody thought these are the guys that are going to take Rangers to the next level. But there has to be a balance, Gordon. And I think it's a wee bit imbalance at this moment in time, where these guys are getting all the stick and some of the other guys have been there are kind of just sitting getting under there here, listen, you've gone, mate, kind of thing.
Speaking of which, though, Marcus, and we don't have long, but Rangers have announced this new director of football recruitment, Nils Koppen. He's 38. Don't know how that old that makes Hugh Keevans feel. He's been head of scouting at PSV Eindhoven, takes up a new role at Ibrox in January. I don't know if you know anything about him, Marcus, prior to now. What do you make of the appointment based on what you have heard?
To be honest, I've not heard anything about him, but it's about time we've got somebody in place, because, to be honest, you want stability in the club from the bottom to the top, the top to the bottom. And if you've not got somebody in place that's dealing with these situations that the manager can't be dealing with every single day, then you're going to be causing problems for the manager.
Sounds like he's got a big job in his hands. If he's imagine as you know, day one in the job, stick Super Scoreboard on at six just to see what they think of the current players.
He's starting work 3 days after Celtic play Rangers at Celtic Park. He'd better hope that he starts with a positive result out of that game, because there'll be a clamour for several people to be sent on their way and other players brought in.
Yeah, so remember, there was sporting director Ross Wilson, he left, so it's just the titles are being moved around a bit. So Nils Koppen's director of football recruitment. They've also added Tom Taylor as the club's new head of performance. So certainly just kind of small restructure there as well. So if you've got any thoughts, you can get them in on the usual number. We'll thank Marcus. He goes in the hat for one of two pairs of tickets to Scotland Women v England Women at Hampden on Tuesday, and just can't stop giving stuff away. Let's see what's on offer with the sign ball tonight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Last chance this week. Let's see if we can rescue something. It's been a tough week for the listeners. Let's try and get a victory on the board on Beat the Pundit. It's 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 01419511025. It is Twitter at ClydeSSB. If you want to get your thoughts in the first hour of the show, it was pretty much wall-to-wall frustration from Rangers fans at the result last night, but most of the attention on this Todd Cantwell substitution. Definitely the most talked about substitution of the season. If you have any thoughts there, do get them into us. If you want to switch focus, Celtic fans, this might be a nice time, because Brendan Rodgers has spoken today. He says the club are working hard to add quality players. He says the January window though can be tough. Says he thought he was going to be able to get about, you know, four quality players in the summer. What do you think's happened there? Get your thoughts in. We'll hear from him and you. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for one of two pairs of tickets to Scotland against England Women at Hampden on Tuesday. In the meantime, let's play
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's 4-0 to the pundits this week. I don't like that. And do you know, the start of the season was really close between pundits and listeners, but the pundits are starting to stretch off into the distance. You wouldn't be able to tell by the number of sign balls that you two had to sign.
Yeah.
Coming in here. But anyway, David is down in London. How's it going, David?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Not bad. What is this, like a sound of home for you down there?
Well, I listen most nights when I can, and if I can't listen to it live, I listen to the podcast.
You're a good man, David. Let's play
to get me off to sleep.
Exactly. Well, listen, it can have many different effects on you depending on your mood, I must say. We'll play first. We'll get a good chat with you as well when we're done. So heads, it is Hugh Keevans. Tails, it is Jim Duffy. And it is heads, it's Hugh against David. So what we do here is give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, and we'll turn it up nice and loud. Not too loud for Hugh, of course. But 30 seconds, David. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored the winner for Ross County against St Mirren on Tuesday?
Pass.
Will Fish is on loan at Hibs from which English Premier League club?
Liverpool.
Which Scottish top flight team has Steve Clarke previously played for?
Pass.
What shirt number does Danilo wear for Rangers?
99.
Name any Scotland international that plays for Sheffield United.
Pass.
What pot are Scotland in for the Euro draw tomorrow?
4.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Ross County.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
I think they're quite tough tonight, you know.
Oh no.
No? Alright, okay, never mind then, Jim Duffy. 30 seconds on the clock, Hugh, and your time starts now. Who scored the winner for Ross County against St Mirren on Tuesday?
Jordan White.
Will Fish is on loan to Hibs from which English Premier League club?
Man United.
Which Scottish top flight team has Steve Clarke previously played for?
St Mirren.
What shirt number does Danilo wear for Rangers?
33.
Name any Scotland international that plays for Sheffield United?
Barry Bannon.
What pot are Scotland in for the Euro draw tomorrow?
3.
Who is bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Libby.
David, what do you think?
I think I've been done well and truly.
Oh, it's never good. I can't face a clean sweep for the pundits this week. Jordan White is the answer to the winner for Ross County. It is 1-0 Hugh. Will Fish is from Man United. It is 2-0 Hugh. I've got the fear already. Steve Clarke, St Mirren, 3-0 Hugh. However, there was some life left in David. Danilo wears 99.
Oh,
you were sort of, no, you were nowhere near it. Who am I kidding? So 3-1 to Hugh. Sheffield United,
McBurney
or John Fleck? I feel like you, that was in the tip of your tongue, David, that one. You couldn't quite get it out there. Scotland are in pot three. Hugh Keevans adds another. And Livy are bottom. Oh, David, honestly, he's just, you've just met a man in form. Sometimes you've just got to take your hat off. I don't like to admit it, but it was a tough school tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm an amateur compared to a professional journalist.
Well, he's been called many things before, I must admit. I'm not sure that before. Much improved.
Biggest compliment you've had?
Was it not this time last week that you had overindulged in the red wine on the Thursday and then lost on the Friday?
I won.
Oh, did
won.
You? Yeah. You scraped by, did you? But there we are. David, you're a Celtic fan, I believe, is that right?
Yes, I am. I've been for many years.
I don't know if being out of the Glasgow madness does anything different to your mindset on weeks like this. How do you feel about things at the moment?
My opinion of Celtic is, I said compare this squad to the squad from Seville, and there's no comparison. How many would get into Martin O'Neill's team? And then somebody posted on somewhere that Celtic squad were the fifth highest paid in Europe and in Britain at the time. So I don't know. The money in Scotland is not what it was. The money down here is obscene. What players get paid?
I think to be fair, David, you recall that, you know, first of all, and most important of all, Celtic have Henrik Larsson then, who would be some people's idea of the best player ever to have worn a Celtic shirt.
Phenomenon, wasn't he?
Yeah, and they also, you know, money was thrown at Martin O'Neill. Chris Sutton, John Hartson,
Neil Lennon,
yeah, Alan Thompson.
I think you forget, you know, because we all, you know, time goes so fast and all that. Without getting too deep, you know, you're talking 20 years ago,
yeah.
And as David said, the landscape has changed. Celtic, where they sat in British financial terms, now, you know, completely different. We could probably do a whole show on that. David, sort of, you know, making that comparison in terms of, you know, where they're at now and just nowhere near it. But I don't know, Hugh, what is the right comparison just now? Are you looking at other teams in Europe that maybe are of a similar budget that can cause some upsets in the European stage, and why can't Celtic do that? Is that the best way of doing it?
I don't think it's, you know, entirely down to budget. But I feel sorry for them in this way. They've lost Abada, Maeda, Hatate.
Yeah.
It's a horrible chunk out of your team. I do think the summertime transfer activity was pretty much a total waste of time. There are players at Celtic who I would imagine they'll try and move on in January because they're just never going to make it there. There are several from the summer intake who are never going to make it. And there has been a shocking waste of money with regard to the central defensive position. So there's an awful lot of work to be done in January for Brendan Rodgers. But, you know, in overall terms, the club in general, the last 29 Champions League group stage matches, Celtic have won two of them. That's appalling.
Mm. How do you manage to? I think we're always looking for this, like, you know, one reason, or you know, we're looking to kind of sum it up and say it's all because of this. But it's quite difficult, isn't it? Because as you say, you go to the other night and you say, well, do you know what? There's a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And played fine and then just kind of, you know, lost at the end. And this group, they've clearly not been, not far off it. You're not watching games where you think this lot are an embarrassment, they're nowhere near this level when you watch the match. But then, as you say, you zoom out, you take that entire record into account, and the club clearly is found wanting at Champions League level.
Oh yeah, badly. So,
but you see what I mean? Like,
you know, Ange Postecoglou, for example, the fans idolised Ange Postecoglou. But he was hopeless in the Champions League as well.
But this is the thing, you know, you get one crack at it if you're Ange Postecoglou, you play Real Madrid, and you're right. You know, I'm not going to argue too much about the word hopeless because they did finish bottom of the group. But it feels like on a night-to-night basis in the Champions League, they're always kind of there or thereabouts. But, you know, what is it, 15 games without a win?
Yeah. I think when you play the top clubs, I've said it many times.
Lazio aren't one, though. That's the problem this week, isn't
it? But in European level, they don't have the same intimidation that domestic clubs would have, maybe, of Celtic. either home or away, they believe that they're better than any Scottish team, including the Scottish champions. And therefore, there's no fear factor there. I just think there has to be a mindset change. You know, we've heard the same comments made from various managers saying, oh, it's all about learning, it's all about development, it's all about, you know, this is the way we play because this is the way that will take us forward. But then there's new, there's maybe half a team changes all the time. Sometimes the managers change. I think there just has to be a little change of the mindset when it goes into these games.
I think that
takes a different type of player than perhaps the current crop of players that they have.
I do think they lack quality. And I know it's the word that Brendan Rodgers keeps repeating over and over.
So do you want to hear it in terms of what he said today? Because it did come up again. He was obviously just on, you know, kind of standard pre-match media duties ahead of the weekend. But naturally that came up. And by the way, thanks to David. I won't keep you hanging on for too much longer, David. It was a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good man. That was David on the line. Brendan Rodgers, club are working hard to add top level players to the squad after another Champions League exit.
The squad will come down in numbers, and obviously we need to add the quality. Like I say, there's no dressing it up. For the group, lost real quality players in the summer. So that's something over the coming windows that we'll look to improve on. I felt when I came in here in the summer that with the squad that was already in place from last season that we probably needed four players, quality players to add to the squad to continue to improve and grow. You need to also have players that are established. So I think the next step is the European side, and that's why I came back, to hopefully be able to fulfil that in my time here.
Right, so in the summer he thought...
Four players.
Four quality players. Yeah. Does that mean he didn't get them? And you know,
that would be my interpretation of events.
That definitely didn't, because you said also players who are like ready to play. And not maybe young potential players. Mm-hmm. He needs them ready to step in and be first team players, not projects and development over a period of time. He needs to have them ready to go from now.
They also said the club lost quality players in the summer.
Yeah, they did.
Jota and Starfelt.
Right. I mean, in theory, though, Starfelt was not probably on Jota's level. And again, in theory, was replaced in one way or another, whether it's the two that we don't see or the fact that Liam Scales has. You know, is the squad that different in terms of, you know, when you talk about we lost quality players in the summer, that sounds like three, four, five, six.
I think his problem now, and again, I cut them slack because of Abada, Maeda, Hatate. They're out because of injury. His problem is that when he's looking for an option during a game, he's ended up with Mikey Johnson, with the greatest respect. You know, Mikey Johnson is 24 years old now, was more or less rejected by Celtic before, and it's not his fault he's getting called off the bench, but it's because Brendan Rodgers looks at the bench, and who can he trust? The quality in depth is not there, and there's more mediocrity than there is quality. And the summertime intake of players was simply not good enough to help the manager out.
I'll be surprised, though, if he can do a lot of business in January of the type of player he wants, because they very rarely, you know, appear in January. I think it'll be next summer before he gets those four players. He might get one, possibly, in January, but I would be amazed if... The type of players that Brendan Rodgers wants to improve his squad to the level he's talking about would be available in January.
Do you think the ease at which Ange Postecoglou blew away some of the kind of football cliches is going to hang over the place? Because we always hear about taking time to get your style across. Didn't for Ange Postecoglou.
Well, it did a wee bit.
Weeks?
No, well, the first couple of months it did.
That's not bad though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he didn't walk in the door initially.
Anyway, the more relevant one is, because I think every manager says January's difficult, so it must be. I'm not saying it's not. But Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate were signed in January, you know, so I guess in that regard it can be done.
I always think managers say that as a kind of default position. In case I don't get good players, I'll then repeat this, that January's a difficult month.
But it must be, though, Jim, it must be.
Well, it is more, you know, because the planning comes from, you know, months in advance. You know, they don't just turn up in the 31st of December and say, right, let's go and look for players. This is all done months in advance. With the various recruitment departments that the clubs have, and a club like Celtic would have, they'd be looking at players way in advance. to see who becomes available. And again, contractually, financially, there's a multitude of things that options for other players. A lot of players want to sit and see what their options are like in the summer, if their contracts are running out, all these sort of things. We've seen it with David Turnbull on the other side of it, if you want to say that. So there are so many discrepancies that can pop up for a player in terms of his choices and the options they have. And I think you're right, O'Reilly, Hatate, but it's not as common, Gordon. That's what I'm saying. Normally it takes a fair bit of planning to get these players in. I will just be surprised if Brendan can manage to get four players in. If he gets one that can actually be a nailed on first team player, yeah. I actually think that'll be a relatively successful transfer window.
I think part of the problem with the discourse here is that the label that we, and everyone's doing it, projects or quality. Yeah. You're either one or the other. Except when Hatate and O'Reilly arrived, would they not have been projects? When Jota arrived, would he not have been a project? But now he's left and he's a quality player that's left. So
but I think
I feel like that the labelling's causing us a few contradictions here.
Yeah, I mean, presumably Kyogo was a project when he arrived.
I mean, he's a bit older, I suppose, but you know.
But the again, I go back to this, the options available to Brendan Rodgers. You know, he now has nothing to concentrate on other than domestic matters. Europe's over and done with. Paulo Bernardo, nah. Kwon, never seen. Laga Bielka, what's to happen with him? Navrotsky, what's to happen with him? Nat Phillips, he'll go in January. You know, and on and on and on it goes. And Brendan Rodgers does not have quality backup.
Let's ask Eddie in Coatbridge. Eddie, all this talk about adding quality, what do you think?
Well, they've got to do it. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you. Are you? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm fine, son. Thanks very much. It's just I've got just a point for Hugh and Jim, if that's okay, Gordon.
Go on then.
Hugh, I don't know if you remember, I spoke to you maybe about 4 or 5 seasons ago about this VAR. And I said to you, the only way to do it is to give the referees a helping hand was to have it. Maybe 4 or 5 referees watching monitors up in the room, and if the referee wasn't sure, go to the monitor and then just. But they've wasted it now. They've wasted it all. It's going to get a stage now that the players have got to wear slippers.
I thought it was going to be about Celtic's transfer, yeah. But which is fine. Yeah. I mean, you can call about whatever you like. You just.
VAR. You know, Eddie obviously dislikes it. And, plenty of people dislike it, and the Celtic manager himself was on record as saying he would bin it now. But it's here, and it's here to stay, and we'll have to live with it and all its vagaries.
I'm sure we'll argue about it again soon.
Course, yeah. But I just wonder where the game is headed, you know, with talk of sin bins and all this. But you're going to turn the game into the NFL. It will take us 4 hours to play a match, and I agree with Philippe Clement when he said that sin bins would be, to his way of thinking, a circus.
Well, if you've any thoughts on that, you can get them in. I didn't realise we were so close to the break on 01419511025. Eddie's in the hat, though, for the tickets to Hampden on Tuesday. And in the meantime, let me tell you all about this. Oh, I hate it when this happens. We had no winner on today's call because the person picked up the phone and said, hello. Perfectly standard procedure in other walks of life, but not on Make Me A Winner. The difference between hello and Make Me A Winner is literally hundreds of thousands of pounds. You would just answer the phone for the rest of your life with Make Me A Winner, just Make to be sure. But let's forget about today. We move on, as the footballers say these days. We could be making you the winner of £180,000. You need to be in the draw, though. It goes without saying. Text YES to 61025. YES. I'm being really patronising now to make sure you get it to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and all the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and if you've entered since Caroline won on Thursday, fear not, your entry is still in the draw. You don't need to re-enter, but to everyone else, get involved. All the rules for this network competition are online, and if you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday the 4th, answer within 5 rings, say Make Me A Winner straight away, and if you do that, you would be 180,000 £1,000 richer, and the money goes into your bank account the very same day. So get yourself in the draw and text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Duffy and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, whether it is Rangers last night, whether it is Celtic and Brendan Rodgers talking about recruitment and adding quality. Maybe Aberdeen fans out there who want to talk about the tractors cleaning the pit. They were really efficient, you have to say. How good were they?
Yeah, they were great. But also, what would the goal? Angus McDonald, there's a wonderful great name into it. I love that
St. Andrew's
name.
Day.
What a hit that was.
Yeah, you want to look back on that, you can do. Look ahead to this weekend. It is pretty cold in here, which tells you that outside is probably freezing. I'm a bit worried for Hugh Keevans, actually. I think it's about -4 in here. So already we're seeing pitch inspections at Livy tomorrow, most of the Championship games off as well. So it remains to be seen what happens there. If you want to look ahead to the weekend, you can do. Hugh and the previous caller between them mentioned sin bins before the break. If you want to discuss that, you can as well. Let me give you this question first, though.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Good question, this. Dundee supporter Lee Maloney has sent it in. I like it, because this must be right up Jim Duffy's street, this question. And ably assisted by Hugh Keevans. Who were the last 5 players to leave Dundee and sign for either Celtic or Rangers? Now, what we mean by that is the last 5 to go from Dundee to Rangers and the last 5 to go from Dundee to Celtic. Okay? Since it's the time frame is... goes way back, actually.
Morten Veghorst.
Oh, it's not where I thought you would start. Very good. Look at this guy showing off his Dundee knowledge.
Rab Douglas.
Yep.
Claudia Canisia.
Yep.
Is it straight to or in between other clubs?
Straight to.
So, for instance, Neil McCann went, but he went via Hart, so it's not that.
Nope.
Right, okay. So, wait a minute, where have we got? We've got...
Veghorst, Douglas, Canisia.
I think...
Did you sell any to Rangers when you were at Dundee?
Gavin Ray.
Well, we'll put him in then.
Zurab Kishnishvili.
Yeah, that seems like a good plan. Right, we'll leave it there, because that's 5 already of the 10. So maybe you can tweet us, show us how good your knowledge is. Who are the last 5 players to go from Dundee to Celtic and the last 5 to go Dundee to Rangers? Gavin Ray, Zurab Kishnishvili and Claudio Canigia from Rangers, Rab Douglas and Morten Veghorst. From Dundee to Celtic. We'll get back to that. Thanks again to the good folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride for helping us out on the teaser as well. Declan is a Celtic fan. How are you, Declan?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I just wanted to make a point on Rangers fans, actually. Okay. I think the reality is, if Rangers fans, they go into every single season with their expectations just a bit too high. And now, if you look over the last probably 15 years now, they've actually not won many trophies, yet every single season they go into it expecting that Rangers should be challenging. And I think that's where the downfall comes. You know, they always end up being disappointed with their team, because every year they go in with the expectations too high. And I actually almost compare them to the Man United fans down in England, where they seem to do the same. They're not the same club they were, you know, 15 years ago.
This
they
is
don't
a,
have that pool anymore.
Declan, this is an elaborate wind-up of the Rangers supporters. You know, Rangers haven't been in the top flight for 5 of those years. Therefore, expectations were severely hampered then. And, you know, fans are entitled to go into the season expecting, or not expecting, but hoping for better than the season before. But, you know, Celtic have been financially much better off than Rangers for a long time now, and have dominated the game. They are going, they hope, for their 12th title out of the last 13. That speaks volumes about their dominance. But this is an elaborate wind-up of Rangers fans, and you have to be careful, because, you know, Rangers are on the 90 minutes away from winning the first trophy of the season. A trophy that Celtic couldn't get because Kilmarnock knocked them out. The league race got a bit to go yet. The Scottish Cup is still to come. So I do understand the rules of the bragging rights game, but your call is an elaborate wind-up.
But then I think you could say the same about Celtic in Europe as well, because I think every single season that Celtic fans also go into Europe expecting far too much when what actually is possible. So I think I'm not trying to wind anyone up at all. I think it's just the reality of it, and if they went in with the expectations a bit lower, then they wouldn't be so disappointed every year.
Do you think that is true though, Declan? So you're a Celtic fan, we're not doing the bragging rights thing. When you say Celtic fans are expecting too much in Europe, is it too much to expect that you at least just finish third in a Champions League group, or even look like you could finish third? If we were saying Celtic fans phoning in every season and saying, I think we can get to the latter stages of the Champions League or progress, then you would be right. You could phone up and say the expectations are too high. Do you think the expectations really are too high if we're talking about just trying to make a fist of finishing third?
Well, yeah, definitely, because even if you look at just the difference in the Europa League wages that some of these teams that make it out to the group stages and make it further on, you know, they are far superior in terms of what money they bring into their club every single year than what Celtic do. Now, I know you can say Rangers done it a couple of years back, but that's really not going to happen too often, is it?
Not them all though. You know, you look at, we've said it before, and I know I can be selective with this, but teams like Copenhagen this season, there are loads of teams that have at least similar budget to Celtic, at least in the same stratosphere, that make a go of it.
Yeah, there definitely is, but I think when you don't spend the money in the right people, then you're never going to progress. So that's what happens when
Celtic
the money.
Celtic haven't won a Champions League match at Celtic Park for 10 years. Ten years. But that doesn't stop people buying their Champions League packages, and every time Celtic play in the Champions League at Celtic Park, it's a full house. So to address your original point, yeah, the Celtic fans believe at the start of every season that this will be the one.
No, but he's saying he thinks the Celtic fans have expectations that are too high.
Yeah, but the Celtic are playing in, would you want them to play in the elite competition, or would you not want them to play in the elite competition? This is football's elite competition, and therefore you've got to get in there with some degree of expectation. You can't get in there thinking, oh, we're going to get in here and we're going to get we're going to get turned over in every game. So where do you balance the expectation? And I just think it's I'm not saying it's an impossible thing for a club at Celtic to be, but I think when you get into these competitions, Celtic fans historically, traditionally, call it what you like, expect their team to compete. And that's the thing that's been, you know, that's probably been the biggest disappointment, is the competed to a certain level, but there's been moments and periods in game where they've just completely, lost the game in terms of the games get away from.
What is an appropriate level of expectation then for your fellow Celtic fans in Europe, Declan?
Very hard to answer, actually, because I think it's only going to get worse, actually, over the next 5-10 years, and the financial gulf will just be astronomical, where we can't compete at all.
Just feel like that it can't always be that. You know, Declan's largely right, but we used the Copenhagen example, the others. And whilst Lazio obviously do have more money than Celtic, this isn't one of those weeks where you watch and go, oh, look at the golf, look at the money, we can't compete. Well, you could have if you had just screwed the nut a bit over the two games.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's been periods in the games.
No, I know that.
And who they brung off the bench. You know, they brung Immobile off the bench. That's the difference.
I get that. Yeah. But listen, a big part of football is played in the balance sheet. I get that. But what about that bit with your eyes where you just watch them and you think, do you know what? With a little tweak here or there, Celtic could have competed there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that in most of the game they have competed.
Could have won
most
there,
of them. But there's been just little periods. And, you know, Declan's right in one aspect. If you get somebody like Mobley and you know, he's got 200-odd goals, whatever it happens to be. So you're bringing up a proven goal scorer at a top level on the pitch. Celtic, if they find a proven goal scorer at a certain level, can score those type of goals in the Champions League, there's every chance that they'll be away within a year because, you know, whether it's a Dembele or whatever it happens to be, they want to move on or somebody else will come and take them. So that's difficult. But I don't think they're miles away in terms of the gulf. I do think, as I said, there has to be a change in approach sometimes towards the games.
Celtic started in the Stadio Olimpico with Paolo Bernardo. He's a loanee. He's here on loan. You know, it has to be better than that. And then, as I say, as the match progresses, Mikey Johnson comes on, thereby demonstrating that you simply do not have strength and depth. And I've, for the last time, I'll say, I understand Abada, Maeda, Hatate. That's a horrible loss to Celtic. But the squad is nowhere near that standard.
But again, though, that this is the whole point here is about expectations. Mm-hmm. And Declan saying that expectations are too high. See, if we're saying that Celtic can't at least compete for third place in the group, then you would be as well pulling the plug.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you set your expectations perhaps after the draw is made. So once you realise the league, the section you're in, you think, OK, where can we be? Worst case scenario, Celtic would be saying, like, we want to be in Europe after Christmas. So that's the biggest disappointment, because I don't think that's, you know, beyond their expectation level. That should be their minimum expectation level.
So, look, again, go through all the groups. There are some absolute heavyweights in there with bank balances to dream of. Braga are sitting in third. They'll drop into the Europa League. You're not telling me they're in a different stratosphere from Celtic. Lons, as much as they got hammered the other night, they're sitting in third. They've got 5 points. You know, they'll possibly drop into the Europa League. Newcastle's group's a joke, obviously. Young Boys, again, sitting in third in their group on four. I do appreciate this is all the luck of the draw, and you could say that, you know, there are, you know, Celtic had maybe a bit of a tough draw in terms of the other perceived weakest team in the group would be, like, you know, Feyenoord or Lazio, and they are decent. But we surely need to move away from this notion that it just can't be done.
I don't think Celtic should be saying they can't compete with Feyenoord. And these days, again, historically, the Dutch, I mean, the Ajax team, until they sold a lot of their players, you know, had, you know, for two or three years, and then they sell their players. But Feyenoord are not an exceptional team. They're not, in my opinion, they shouldn't be anywhere. If they're a fraction better than Celtic, it's a fraction. And on their day, Celtic's every bit as much a chance of finishing above them in this particular section of teams. So I don't think that's beyond the expectation, and I don't think it's an unrealistic expectation to expect that.
They're a mystery. As I say, 10 years since they won a Champions League game at home. Yeah. They get 60,000 people for every game. I mean, 10 years.
There's not been in the group stage for all of those 10 seasons, though. I know it sounds good and it sounds dramatic, but, you know, that I think that needs to be taken into account just even a tiny bit.
Well, I go back to, if I isolate the current squad, the quality is not there, even for third place.
Yeah, but yeah, fair enough. Declan, thank you very much. On the line, we are 10 minutes into the game between Scotland women and Belgium. It's the away leg, of course. I say leg, it's the Nations League. The home one finished 1-1. It's Scotland's only point so far. And the small matter of England at Hampden on Tuesday. Well, you could be there, and all you need to do is give us a call. That is it. Pick up the phone, make a point to the panel, and you get into the hat for one of two pairs of tickets to that one. On the teaser tonight, who were the last five players to go from Dundee to Rangers, and the last five to go from Dundee to Celtic? You've got Rab Douglas, Morten Wieghorst, Gavin Rae, Zurab Kishinashvili, Claudio Caniggia. Give me one more each.
Jack Henry.
Yes.
John Brown.
No.
Nacho Novo.
Yes. Nacho. Okay, we'll get the remaining three next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans are about to be joined on the line by Sharon. Let me very quickly just recap the teaser for you. The last five players to leave Dundee for Celtic, and the last five to do the same but go to Rangers. So you've got, on the Celtic side, Jack Henry, Rab Douglas, Morten Wieghorst. On the Rangers side, Nacho Novo, Gavin Rae, Zurab Kishinashvili, and Claudio Caniggia.
Yeah, and goalkeeper Scott Bain.
Scott Bain. Matthew tweeted in, he got that one right. Well done, Matthew and Jim. Okay, so it's one of each team to go, and we'll try and get it before the end. Let's bring in Sharon. How are you tonight, Sharon?
I'm Yeah, thanks very much for taking my call, panel. Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
All good. Good in here. Certainly no grumbles from us. What are you thinking after last night then?
Actually, I've actually tried to call in last night. It was my partner's birthday on St Andrew's Day, and I think the Pipes music, it should just go on.
Do you like that? That wee production value that was added last night, the bagpipes, like super scoreboard theme tune.
Try to make it stick. Keep it going all the way through. I actually come on last night and I was back in Lammers. I thought, yeah, good, come on. Yeah, give them a go, show the fans, whatever. But yeah, it was a deflated balloon. But I think the Todd Catwell, when he was substituted, I think I was a bit disappointed. But I think, obviously, as soon as I seen him, I was like, yeah, he's not playing in position. And don't get me wrong, McCausland, come on, he scored a great goal. Mm-hmm. But I do think, at the end of the day, it's all about the team. It's not about bloody Cantwell. No, it's not. It's a team effort. And when you think about it, when I was listening to the guy before on the call about the Europe, we've always done well in Europe. But why is that? Why do we do well in Europe but not in the league? I don't understand it.
Yeah, there certainly was a time when we always said it. How many big results did they dig out? And not, you know, against big teams as well. Teams that, you know, are in the Champions League currently and so on. And there was that kind of mystery for a while. I think that's what will annoy the Rangers fans now. This week we're talking about, you know, failure to beat Aris Limassol at home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Those nights against Leipzig and Dortmund, etc., feel like a while ago.
I don't cut the players any slack over the two games against Limassol. It doesn't matter to me that Michael Beale had just been binned by Rangers and that they went under Steve Davis's control to Cyprus. It was a disgrace that Rangers lost there, and it's a disgrace that they couldn't beat them at Ibrox last night as well. So they've cost themselves automatic qualification because they've dropped 4 points to a part-time team from Cyprus. So, yeah, just not good enough.
Sharon says, you know, it's not about the team. It is about the team, sorry. Yeah. It's not about Todd Cantwell. When you do that, and it is that big, it's the statement, isn't it? And it's the walk-off. And the players always walk with purpose to let everybody know that they're not injured.
Yeah.
Don't dare limp, because I'm not having anyone think I'm injured. I want everyone to know that I was brought off here. Is that relationship bound to be a bit touchy at the moment? Can you lose a player by doing those things?
Yeah, of course you can lose a player. It depends on the relationship between the player and the manager. But Sharon's right. I mean, the team is the most important thing. If the manager believes that it's the right thing to do to change a player because it will benefit the team and get a result, then that's his job. That's what he is paid to do, make the big calls. I've seen it time and time again. I've been involved myself when players come off and they, you know, they kick the bench or they throw things about and they get, you know, they take a bit of a tantrum. That you can either say, well, you should be disappointed to be getting substituted, or it's a bit petulant. It just depends on where you want to go. I think Todd Cantwell should show his disappointment, and I think the Rangers fans would expect him to be disappointed. But Sharon's correct in the sense that the manager has made the he believes is the right call for the team. I said earlier on, I think it would have been a better wait to half time. Manager might think he couldn't, and then maybe do it, or make a double substitution, because he eventually brings Lawrence on within what, 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes of the second half, and it would have made the thing less controversial. But as I said, Philip Clement, McCausland, come on, scored the goal, so he was ultimately he was proved right in his decision.
So we said to you, we're going to finish the show almost the way we started it. I respect the view of people who would say, well, you know, the manager made the decision, Todd Cantwell's got no choice but to take it in the chin and go on with it, which is obviously true. But, you know, if this was to be a continued exercise where Sam Lammers, in the eyes of many Rangers fans, is getting these free passes to perform the way he is, but Todd Cantwell's not, and is having to be subbed, you know, in the, what was it, 39th minute, something, whatever it was. Is that would he not have any sort of right at that point to think what's going on here?
He may feel that the Philippe Clement very early on in his time at Ibrox has had a look at Cantwell and isn't entirely sure. But I repeat, there were 55 minutes of football to be played after Lammers went off. Cantwell went off. And it is a collective failure on the part of the players that they did not beat Aris Limassol in that period of time. I accept it's a great story, and we've seen the television pictures of him shaking Clement's hand and then shaking his head in disgust.
Because, to be fair, it wasn't a wildly petulant reaction from Todd Cantwell.
But I think the whole business now has been over-exaggerated and is deflecting attention away from the fact that Rangers as a collective could not beat this team from Cyprus in their own ground in front of 50,000 fans with all of the incentives that were there in front of them. It is a collective failure. And that is just one incident of many on the night that wasn't good enough.
Thank you, Sharon, on the line there. It was nice to speak to Sharon on 01419511025. That will be the last call. So we'll do the draw for the Scotland women's tickets in the not-too-distant future. It still is. It's goalless out there in Belgium, or is it? Have we got an update? No, still goalless there. So hopefully Pedro Martinez Losa's side can come back with something there, go into the game at Hampden with a bit of confidence, a bit of momentum. It remains to be seen what impact the weather will have tomorrow. Livy is subject to pitch inspection early on. Hugh, Ross County, Derek McInnes, 700th game in charge. As a manager, yeah, when Hearts come to Kilmarnock. Isn't it?
What an interesting managerial career it has been as well. You know, he's done his time at St Johnstone. He's gone down south. I know that he didn't feel like all the chances he might have done down south, it still rankles with him. Might have been Rangers manager at one point, turned the job down, former Rangers player that he was. 7 years at Pittodrie. One trophy in that time. He's a safe pair of hands, Derek, and he's a good bloke, and he is going to look after Kilmarnock. It was a good move by Billy Bowie, the owner, to get him in there.
Any idea if your Wikipedia is accurate?
No, I've not got a clue. Do you honestly think I look at my Wikipedia? Listen, Gordon, no,
because
not a chance.
If it is, and I know you've kind of said maybe management, that's maybe it done. If it's accurate, we need to get you an interim spell somewhere. According to your Wikipedia, you're on 892.
Okay.
So give a wee spell, surely. It must be a couple. Take him for 8 games. give us something to talk about.
Listen, it's a tough gig, management, in particular nowadays. I think that somebody like Derek has been an outstanding manager in terms of how he's structured clubs and organised them, and I think pretty much most of the clubs, if not all of the clubs, have been better clubs with him on board in terms of the overall infrastructure of the football clubs, and the players have always enjoyed. You speak to any players, work with Derek McInnes, and they'll always speak very highly, and that to me is always a testament to a manager. You know, when you speak to players will speak to the press, they'll say what they expect them to say. When you speak to them away from the media side of it, Gordon, they'll tell you honestly. And Derek has got a great reputation with players, and I think that's a fantastic tribute to him, and congratulations. And did you say 700 games?
Yeah.
A magnificent achievement.
Motherwell, Dundee, Hugh, you sometimes see this. You go to Celtic Park and get a point. It's brilliant, it really is. It takes some effort, but is that a flash in the pan? Can you do it in a more so-called winnable game? Because, you know, Motherwell's winless run is still there. What does last week do? Is it a platform or is it not?
It ought to be. They did very well last week at Celtic Park. When Celtic get their second penalty and finally go in front, you think, well, that's it. But Motherwell had the resilience, character, call it what you like, came back, got the draw. The other side of that coin, they haven't won any of the last 10 games. And tomorrow, they really have to take heart and character from that performance against Celtic.
Right, so let's finish off the teaser. We're looking for one of the last five players to go from Dundee to Rangers, and one for Celtic. Matthew has steamed in as well with another one. He says, are we going as far back as? And he's named the guy who played for Dundee, obviously, and Motherwell. We were just talking about the fixture tomorrow. Which player would link Motherwell, Dundee and Celtic from the late 80s, early 90s?
Oh, early 90s.
Oh. What did you just say to me again for Motherwell on the other side of the...
Tommy Coyne.
There we go.
Tom, I should know. I played with Tom.
And the Rangers one, it's perfect actually player. It's the most recent example on this list, I think. We banged on about his transfer fee over and over and over on this show.
Glenn Kamara.
There we go. Thank you, Hugh Keevans, Jim Duffy. We are back tomorrow. I've no idea how much football we'll be able to bring you, but what we will do is build up to the Euro 2024 draw. A draw for a major tournament and Scotland are in it. How good does that sound? Make sure you join us tomorrow. It's going to be freezing. Don't bother with Christmas shopping. Get the feet up, listen to us, and we'll take you through the lot tomorrow. In the meantime, stay right there. GBX is up next.